Exodus 33:12-23, this is the reading of God's word. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that the nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Then Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one, no man, can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, here, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly. And when we hear your word, that we may, by your grace, be able to understand, and not just understand, but also believe, and also obey. And Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done for us, the heavenly realities that our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, 1 John, is it working? Not working. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5b says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Our God is holy and righteous." Then question is, then how can he dwell with the sinners? Chapter 33, verse 3b says, "I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way." Chapter 33, verse 5b says, "Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I will destroy you." See, our God is a consuming fire. The salvation that our God accomplished is this, that God dwells with us, the sinners. How can this be, though? Can the power and the wisdom of the sinner accomplish this? No. Holy God has to judge the sinners, And yet, that holy God wants to dwell with us, the sinners. How could this be accomplished? He wants to be with us, but at the same time, He has to punish our sins. And when He does punish our sins, then He has to send us to hell forever. That means then He cannot dwell with us forever. So how could this be accomplished? God, our God, through His infinite wisdom, solved this problem. And the answer is Jesus Christ. That in Jesus Christ, God judged our sins. All of our sins, He judged it already. See, some people think that God is just good and jolly, that He just forgives us. But only reason why God is forgiving us is that He has judged our sins in Jesus Christ. He already poured out His punishment for our sins. But He poured out those wrath of God unto Jesus Christ instead of us. And through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called righteous in His sight. Thus, in Jesus Christ, God dwells with us, the sinners. See, through the blood of Christ, He cleansed us, all our sins. And He now gave us His righteousness so that we could wear, so to speak, wear Jesus Christ, so He could call us righteous in His sight. This is the only reason now God is able to dwell with His sin, I mean His people, the sinners. See, eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is having eternal fellowship with God. Eternal life is being with God forever. See, so many people think that, you know, being saved means that you just been saved out of punishment. But that's only the half of it. He saved us so that we may be with God forever. That we may live with Him forever and ever in that glorious place. Thus the question here, will God go with us or not, is the same question as, will we live forever or not? In Exodus chapter 33, God says, I will not go with you. Because if I go with you just for 1 second, I will destroy all of you, for you are just filthy sinners. Even after they witness what God has done for us and how He cares for them and how He protects them and leads them, they just continue to sin against God. Chapter 33, verse 3 says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. Was God's promise to Abraham just a promise of a land of this world? It's just going to that land flowing with milk and honey. How about you, brothers and sisters? If God says to you that He will give you a land flowing with milk and honey, and He also promises you many victories over the wars with the enemies, but God says He is not going to be with you, is that okay? As long as you are successful in this world, is that all you want? How important is it to you that God is with you now and forever? Is heaven a just really good place that you want to go? Or for you, heaven is where God is, and you want to go there because you want to be with God? How important is it to you that God is with you now and forever? Moses says, chapter 33, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. He's saying, if you are not going to go with us, then let us all die here, because there's no point of going if you're not with us. Do you have the same heart as Moses? That nothing really matters but his presence with you? I mean, this is not something that is so strange. Because even at human level, if you love somebody, that's what you want. It's not so much of all these other things, but that you want to be with that person. Everybody is the same. But when it comes to God, why things change? Is it our focus, being with God, that you want to be with God forever? So here Moses, even when God promised them this land flowing with milk and honey, you understand the expression. This is a rich land, and you're going to be so successful in it. Even when God promised Moses this land, Moses says, just kill us, kill all of us here. We don't want to go, because if you don't go, then it doesn't mean anything. Again, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, how important is it to you that God is with you? Are you ready to give up the land flowing with milk and honey if God is not with you in that land? Are you willing to give up everything just to gain God? That's exactly how Jesus lived. Just to gain you. He gave up everything, even his life, so that he could be with you forever. And that's what salvation is all about. Because if you don't love God, and if you don't love having fellowship with God and worshiping God, then heaven will not be a good place for you. Because that's what heaven is all about. Do not think of heaven in a worldly way, that it's just a good place where you could have everything you want. That's not what heaven is. Is this the most important thing in your life, that God is with you? How can we witness to the whole world that we are God's people? Well, verse 16 says, for how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we and I, your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17, for Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. How can we show to the whole world that we are God's people? The only way that will show eternally is that God is with us. That God is always, forever, living with us. See, we need to ask ourselves, do I love God or do I love what He gives me? Or what we think He could give us? Again, even at human level, this is obvious. I mean, if your wife or your husband, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, question is, does he or she loves me or what I could give her or what I could give him? See, God wants to have this loving relationship with us. And He showed us how much He loves us already. He gave His life. And He wants this love relationship. He wants this to be two-way loving relationship, not just one-sided. And Moses understands this. See, God knows Moses, he says. In John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10, verse 3b, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God called you by name. You hear his voice through his word. And now you follow him. See, this is your relationship with your God, even now. God is with you and God lives in you. In Jesus Christ, God and you cannot be separated. See, if you're truly saved, then you are united to Christ. And now on and forever, you and Christ cannot be separated. We cannot think of you, we cannot speak of you apart from Christ anymore if you're truly Christian. But this makes us happy because being with Jesus Christ, that is our desire. And having that fellowship with Him, that happy fellowship, having God as my friend, as my eternal husband, as my king, as my brother. This is what makes us happy. God is with you and God lives in you. In Jesus Christ, God and you are just one. Will He go with us? See, this question that we see in our chapter, will God go with us? This question is not our concern anymore. We have a perfect salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5b says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God promised that He will never forsake us. Even if you sin, He will not forsake you. Even as you sin, like these people that we see in the Old Testament, God will not forsake you. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. See, right now, for God to forsake you means that He has to forsake Jesus Christ. You know that that will not happen. That's how much confidence that you could have that God will never leave you, because He will never forsake Jesus Christ. Because He did that only once, and never again. And He did that on the cross because He bore your sins. He forsook Jesus Christ. But never again. He will never leave you. God is with us, and He will be with us forever. And this is our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. But here Moses wants to make sure. Verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Moses is asking something that is truly astonishing. Verse 20, God says to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. See, sin is the problem. But Moses knows that the true salvation is all about God and man in perfect communion, face to face. Not from a distance, not being covered and covered, but face to face. Man is with God face to face and yet not die. See, this is the true salvation. God says to Moses, verse 19, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and whom show face, I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. I'm reading some words that is not there today. It happens many times today. See, God's attributes, the goodness and God's name will be proclaimed, God says. Thus, Moses will see God's glory, but mostly Moses will hear, because it will be proclaimed. Him seeing God's glory will not be perfect. Verse 21, then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. Verses 22 and 23, and it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. These verses remind us, chapter 17, don't they? The people drank water from the rock. And there we saw that the rock points to Jesus Christ. And we have the same rock here. This is the place in which Moses could see the glory of God. The rock has a cleft, a crack. There Moses will hide. This rock was struck by the staff. The judgment of God, Jesus Christ has already received instead of the people. So this rock, in this rock, Moses can hide. And God with His hand will cover Moses, meaning God will protect Moses from the judgment. And Moses will see God's back, the most outskirts of God's glory, the fringes of God's glory. God says to Moses, but my face shall not be seen. See, Moses has to hide because of his sins. And Moses will hear the word, and this word, as you know, became the flesh and came to this world. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18 of that John chapter 1, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. John chapter 14 verse 9b, Jesus says, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. Do you understand then? In Jesus Christ, God fully reveals the glory of God. Even though that glory was hidden from the sight of this sinful world. But when God gives His people faith, through the eyes of that faith, they could see the glory of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, we behold God. And in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, God fully reveals His glory. Even though the sinful world refused to see that glory. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6b says, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That He has already shown in you, so that now you may see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Then brothers and sisters, do you understand? God has revealed the fullness of glory of God in Jesus Christ. The full glory of God is now revealed to us. Yes, it is still hidden from the world, even now. But you and I, we see it through our faith. And our rock, our true rock, Jesus Christ, in Him we have a cleft. Yes, He was pierced. And that's the picture. And you hide in that cleft. You hide in that crack of this true rock. Jesus completely surrounds you, and He completely, perfectly lives in you. See, you need to understand, you are just, Jesus is everywhere, all over you, inside of you. He protects you from the judgment of God because Jesus Himself has been judged. The pierced side, that's the picture. It shows how He died for our sins, and all of His blood was shed to cleanse our sins. And in Jesus Christ, we behold the glory of God, and not just His back anymore, but the fullness of God's glory. This is your reality. Oh yes, you have something far better than what Moses could possess at this time. He could only look at God's back. But I pray that you will realize that even as you come to this table today, that as Jesus giving these elements to you. Don't look things with your physical eyes, but understand what is truly going on. Jesus Christ is giving himself to you. This is his body and this is his blood. This is his life. Now becomes the nourishment for your spirits. And he invites you to his table so that you could sit at his table. Now, when you have that understanding, you need to understand that now God and you are face to face. He is not sitting like, you know, his back facing you. He's sitting towards you. You are face to face with God. That is the reality that our Lord has already accomplished for you. That is the heavenly reality that is true of you even now. Yes, when you come to the Lord's table, don't just think that we're just remembering what Jesus has done. Yes, we are remembering what Jesus has done. He died for us. But also understand what he has accomplished by dying for us. That now we are able to sit at God's table and eat and drink with him. Have fellowship with him. That's the picture. Face-to-face fellowship. And that reality is going to be visible when Jesus returns. Say, when Jesus returns, you don't see that reality through your faith anymore. No, you see by sight. But just because that sight is not, you know, we are not able to see that, doesn't mean it's not true right now. We need to understand what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And when we say, show us the glory to God, God will say, I already did in Jesus Christ. And when you behold Jesus Christ through your faith, when you read the Bible and you read about him and what he is doing and what he is accomplishing, you behold his glory, God's glory. That's why God says that when he's about to die on the cross, he says, it's time for my glory to shine. You already see the glory of God through his word in Jesus Christ. And you don't have to say to God, show me, because he already did and he's already doing it. It is you who are refusing to see the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, as you come to the table of the Lord, through the eyes of faith, see who is welcoming you. Through the eyes of faith, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Meet your Lord face to face and enjoy the communion with him as you come to his table. I hate using illustrations because it lowers the heavenly to the earthliness, because all the illustration you bring is earthly. But just remember how you were so excited when you start dating somebody, when you start loving somebody, or more importantly, when you married, and right at that moment, how excited were you to be with that person, because you love that person so much, and that person loves you so much. It's that kind of time. Coming to God and having fellowship with God, enjoying the presence of each other. And this is what God wants to do with you. Come to His table and enjoy Him. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy who He is. Because He enjoys you. And in the Bible it says that God shouts with joy. He screams, He cries out with joyful noises because He's so happy to be with you. You need to understand what is really going on. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it is not happening. Because it is in the Word. God tells us what is going on. So I don't know. I don't want to tell you to imagine things, because imagining is something that is not true and you're just imagining. No, believe. Believe that God is so happy to see you, so happy to be with you, so happy to go with you forever. Let us come and let us enjoy God together. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love and Your grace that You pour out to us. We thank You that it is Your desire to have fellowship with us now and forever. And as we come to Your table, let us see what our Lord has done. But at the same time, let us also see what He has accomplished for us. How He is inviting us to His table and wanting to have fellowship with us. Let us sit at His table and eat and drink with Him. Just enjoying His presence. Enjoying the fellowship. Let us rejoice and give You all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.